You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matt Leach, talking with the Mets with MLB.com. Your beat reporter, Anthony Nicomo. Was a pretty sensational day at Citi Field yesterday. Noah Syndergaard had a historic day. It's not an exaggeration. The combination of hits, home run, 7 1/3 shutout. And so we've talked about him a lot, and I kind of want to stretch it a little bit and talk about what he's kind of forced, which is this six-man rotation. It's gotten a lot of conversation. Is this something that they just sort of – is this an example of them kind of throwing up their hands because they don't know what a better way to handle this problem is, or is this something that they maybe anticipated doing back in the spring or before the season started?
Yeah, I think it's definitely – something they anticipated, and not because of the whole too many pitchers for five spots thing. I think it's more of the too many pitchers who have question marks surrounding their health and their innings limits and all that sort of thing. They knew going into this year that Matt Harvey was going to be on an innings limit, a pretty strict one. They knew that Jacob deGrom was going to be on maybe a not as strict limit, but a limit nonetheless. They knew that John Neese was coming into this year with shoulder issues galore the past two seasons. They knew that Bartolo Colon, 42 years old, and so on and so forth. So you go down the line, and there were other ways they could have done this. It just seems right now, the way their personnel is, where Syndergaard is in his development, where Dylan G is coming back from injury, and so on and so forth, it just seems like the simplest fix for them. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but I think there's also a sense in the front office that, well, they say they're happy and willing to do this through August even, you know, as far as they need it. Chances are something's going to happen to make it not last that long. There could be an injury. There could be a trade. So while it's entirely conceivable this could go on for weeks and weeks and even months, I wouldn't necessarily count on it at this point.
Do you think that at this point they are at least pondering what their options are with Dylan G, not maybe actively shopping him, but at least sort of kicking around to see what's out there? Or is he, they just figuring they need him right now if they, for as long as they can have him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they ever really stopped. They shopped Dylan G pretty hard this winter and at the end of the day weren't willing to necessarily give him away. They just didn't get an offer they liked. They had offers where they could have dumped him and the $5 million or so that he's making, but they weren't willing to do that without getting something of value in return. So I don't think a ton has changed in that regard. You know, Dylan G is still here. He's pitching reasonably well when he was healthy and has pitched reasonably well on his rehab. So, yeah, in a perfect world for the Mets, he'll come and he'll rejoin the rotation. He'll be the Dylan G that existed 2 years ago and will gain some of that trade value back. But in the short term, I'm just not sure there's enough value there that the Mets are willing to do that, unless they've changed their mindset and say, we will give them away for nothing. We have Steven Matz waiting in the wings, one of their top prospects who's every bit as highly regarded as Syndergaard. We have five other pitchers in the big leagues right now, and so on and so forth. It's certainly possible that thinking could change, and it could even change if these guys are still pitching well as we get into June, into July, towards the trade deadline. But for right now, I'm just not sure there's a return on investment out there that the Mets are really tempted by.
It was a lot of fun. Well, it's always fun to watch Bartolo Colon pitch, but he was got off to a really good start and looked very much like holding on to him over the winter as opposed to not they ever seriously considered shopping him, but he was clearly a guy they were right to hold on to as opposed to looking at moving him. Lately, he's been rough. He's gotten hit hard. His last start was a little better than the previous ones, but he's been less sharp lately. Home runs, walks, things that a guy who throws the way he throws can't really afford to do. What are you seeing from Colon lately? Is this a blip or is this concerning, particularly given that we're talking about a guy who's now 42.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what you're seeing. Is you're seeing a 42-year-old pitcher who has a shadow of the stuff that he once had, and he can't make mistakes. You know, Noah Syndergaard can leave a ball over the middle of the plate, and it's probably going to get swung through more often than not. or to look like you can't do that. And, you know, going out and making 30-something starts and having that pinpoint precision, while it might be easier for Cologne than it is for other pitchers just because he's so good at it, it's not easy to have that every time out. So the Mets sort of knew what they were getting into with Cologne both last year and this year. He's not going to blow people away. He's going to try and beat you by hitting his spots on the corners, changing speeds, making you swing at his pitches, and so on and so forth. It's not going to work every time. I think, you know, when you look up at the end of the year, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to have plenty of good starts. He's going to have plenty of bad starts, and you're probably going to look at a pretty similar season as what he put up last year, which is that low to mid-4 ERA, you know, winning something in the 12 to 14, 15 game region. And, yeah, he's going to go through these rough patches. I don't think they're concerning. They're probably less concerning for him than they would be for any other pitcher, just because he's such a veteran. He knows exactly what he needs to do to fix it. For him, it's just a matter of physically executing it, which is going to work some days better than others.
All right. And turn to the other side of the ball. Been a lot of different takes on this announcement about David Wright's setback, and some people saying this is very, very worrisome. Some people saying, look, it's manageable. Asking you to play doctor here, what's your understanding of just how serious this latest setback and this latest diagnosis for David Wright is?
I mean, at this point, I don't think anyone knows quite how serious it is. The best way I could put it is this is an injury that has ended careers. This is an injury that guys have been able to play through. It really sounds like a type of thing where, you know, he's going to have to deal with this probably for the rest of his career, for the rest of his life. It's a matter of managing pain. It's a matter of treatment. And it seems like in Wright's case, it's not necessarily so far enough along that you have to worry about that ending his career essentially in his mid-30s. Of course, that's a possibility. Of course, it's never really affecting him as a possibility and everything in between. I think, you know, we're going to really need to see over the next couple of weeks, over the next couple of months, how he responds to rest, to rehab, and ultimately once he gets back out on the baseball field and starts doing baseball activities, which has not been the easiest go for him this season. It's just going to be a matter of touch and go and see how he responds to this stuff. I don't think anyone knows right now. I don't think David Wright knows right now. I think his doctors can give him the best guess, and everyone sort of around the Mets is downplaying the severity of it, but it is in the air. You start talking about the spine, you start talking in the back. It's worrisome, and I think we'll have much better answers in the next month or two than we do right now today.
Is there anything to be deduced at all right now just about time frame, or is it really just entirely up in the air for the time being?
Yeah, it's entirely up in the air. As long as he feels okay, he should start doing more rehab stuff in the coming week. But, you know, we've gone down this road with him before. He's been shut down twice now once he started doing baseball activities because he felt pain or discomfort or whatever you want to call it that both he and the Mets didn't anticipate. So while you can put a timetable on it, it's a dangerous game to do that, only because you don't know when he's going to wake up and go out there on the field and feel something that he doesn't want to feel. You know, you're looking at a best case right now. If he was healthy tomorrow, he would still have to go through at least a week of baseball activities, probably at least a week of playing in games, and I would even tack on a few more days just because, you know, there's setbacks and there's things that you can't control. So we're at the end of May right now. I think the Mets would be thrilled to have him back by the end of June. Realistically, it could take a good deal longer than that.
They're obviously not going to go out and try and find a David Wright replacement, try and find a third baseman. So I'm not talking about that. It's not happening for a thousand reasons. But does this in any way, the sort of unknown, the worry about this, affect how they approach potential deals between now and the non-waiver trade deadline? Do they look maybe more aggressively than they might have for a bat, or is that not really on the table?
I think they're waiting and seeing a little bit. Just if it becomes apparent in the next week or two that David Wright's going to be okay, that he's going to be able to get back and conceivably help this team in July, they're not going to go out and make a big splash. They probably wouldn't go out and make a big splash anyways. I think what it does is it puts, and I wrote about this a little bit in an inbox I did for the website today, it puts some eyes on Matt Reynolds, their top shortstop prospect, who's not really a shortstop but has been playing there at Las Vegas. It puts some eyes on him because the Mets have some options. There's a lot of people within the organization who still think Daniel Murphy is better at third base than he is at second base, even at this point in his career. So if David Wright, they know, is going to be out for a matter of months as opposed to a matter of weeks, they could try and move Murphy to third base full-time, bring Reynolds up to play at second base, and that would give them some measure of flexibility. They still have Gilson Herrera as well, who can play second base, who is on the disabled list himself. But, I mean, you're looking at a lot of moving parts doing that. Reynolds has not hit very well the past 2 or 3 weeks in Vegas, so he's going to have to start hitting for him to even consider something like that. But B, they're not going to disrupt a whole bunch of guys if they think David Wright is close. So I think, again, these answers are going to come in the next week or two. I think they'll have a much better idea, the Mets will, where David Wright is at, how much time he needs, or at least some estimate of it, and then they'll start looking either internally or externally as far as solutions to replace them. Because, yeah, an offense without David Wright, they're going to need to do something because it's struggling without him right now.
All right, well, Anthony DeComo, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.